Thank you. Don't let that go to your head, though.
It won't, trust me.
A lot of stuff you don't know about.
Church.
by our King this morning. Church, I encourage you to just raise your hands, get into his presence, and worship him, for he is worthy. Amen.
This morning, she Touching every life. I thank you for touching every heart. I thank you that you are a miracle working God. I thank you that there is nothing that is too hard for you. There's nothing that is too difficult for you, Lord. All things are possible with you, Father. And I just thank you, Father, for touching people today. Lord, I just thank you for healing people today. I thank you for your healing power. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took our sickness, you took our disease. By your wounds, by your stripes, we have been healed. You have paid the price for our freedom, for our healing, for our victory. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. As we come into this place, we gather in this place. We gather in the name of Jesus, the wonderful name of Jesus, the matchless name of Jesus. We give praise. We lift our voice. We lift our hands. We lift our eyes unto you, Lord, for you alone are worthy. You alone, Almighty, you alone deserve all the honor and all the praise. We thank you for your presence here this morning. Just lift your hands to the Lord this morning. If you believe it today, just lift your hands. Say, Holy Spirit, fall fresh upon me today. Holy Spirit, touch me afresh today. Say, Lord, Lift your hands to Him and say, Lord, have your way in my life today. Not my will, but let your will be done in my life. I surrender all to you, Lord. Not my will, but let your will be done in the name of Jesus.
Just stay in an attitude of worship. For as the church began, says the Lord, as the church began, I told you not to do anything until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I told you to wait. I told you to wait on His presence. For thus says the Lord, as you wait on my presence, as you wait on the Holy Spirit, so you will be endued with power from on high. And nothing has changed in this day and time, says the Lord. Yes, the atmosphere does change when the Holy Spirit's power comes. The atmosphere does change, for I said in my word that by the grace and the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit, I empower believers. And so today, as you stand here, yes, says the Lord, you can be empowered, yes, by the Holy Spirit. Yes. You can be empowered to overcome in every area of your life. You can be empowered to do what you cannot do in your natural ability. But it is up to you to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, says the Lord. It's up to you to open your hearts and say, Lord, I can't do it on my own, but by your grace I can. And as you lift your hands before me, says the Lord, and as you yield your heart and as you bow your heart before me, so the power, a fresh power of the Holy Spirit falls upon you right now. Come on, family, lift your hands before the Lord. Just say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need your power. Yes. I need your strength. Fall upon me right now. And the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you in a powerful way. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing it. Oh.
We need your presence, Lord. Yes. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, all fresh on us. We need your presence. You said that the yoke would be destroyed because of your anointing. You said that every burden will be removed because of your anointing. Lord, I thank you by your anointing that you're removing burdens from people today. I thank you by your anointing that you are destroying yokes in people's lives today. I take authority over the yoke of sickness, and I command every sickness and every disease to go from your body in the name of Jesus. I release the healing power of God to flow in your body right now. I command your body be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you for setting people free from bondage, from addiction. I thank you for freedom, Lord. I thank you for delivering people. I thank you for setting people free right now, Lord, breaking every bondage off of them in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise for everything that is done, for everything that is said. We thank you, Lord, that you are good, and we thank you that you are here with us this morning in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Put your hands together. Give him a hand of praise. Give him a shout today. His shout, hallelujah. Give God a shout of victory this morning. Hallelujah. We bless you today.
Praise the Lord. You just sense that in the atmosphere. Do you sense that presence? The presence of the Lord. And we enter that by worship. We step in, we willingly come into the presence of God, right? It's not something that God just does for us randomly. It's we choose. Like, you've chosen to be here today. You've chosen to get up and get dressed and get into the house of God, to worship God with your words and to lift your hands. And as you do that, you bring yourself into the presence of God. That's when all things can are possible, right? Amen. Well, welcome to church this morning. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them they look good today. You may be seated. Love having visitors in our church, don't we? Yes, we do. So if you are here for the first time, and every week we have people here for the first time, I don't know how you got here. Maybe someone invited you. Maybe you saw one of the beautiful ladies with a welcome to our church sign in the lobby. People come up who are staying in the hotel and just come into church. So I don't know how you got here, but I don't believe it's by accident. I'm hoping that it'll be a chance for you to be encouraged and uplifted today. But if you are here for the first time, we'd like to just honor you by giving you a gift right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can give you a gift where you're sitting? Anyone here for the first time today? We just hand you. Thank you. God bless you. Just keep your hands raised. I know we don't want to embarrass you. Not you. I know you. And I know sometimes it's, you know, you come in and one of the first things you do is say, raise your hand. But if you are visiting and you were too shy to raise your hand, just go to the book table afterwards and grab a bag. But in that gift bag is a couple of things. One's a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. He always preaches a very faith-building, encouraging message. So we put that in hoping it'll be an encouragement to you. And there's a white card in that bag. If you just take a moment and fill it out, at the end of the service we pass an offering bag by, and you just drop it in. The pastor will have an opportunity to call you and to find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. Wonderful. Now we wait for my husband. What, she's going to come in one. What are you doing?
I'm seeing what's going on out here.
Well, we're waiting for you in here. How about that?
What's going on in the lobby?
The pastor is bringing in the sheep, right?
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
No, I'm just wondering what's going on while we're in church here.
They're having fellowship out there in the lobby. Praise God. How are you today? I said, how are you today? 1 week till Christmas. Anyone happy about Christmas? How many of you love Christmas time? I love Christmas time. It's my favorite time of year. Especially now we can say Merry Christmas again. I never stop. Did you? I never stop. But more people are saying Merry Christmas now than used to before. I'm glad to have my sister here from England and her husband, my brother-in-law Dennis and Angie, and my nephew Bryce, my nephew James, who I've got working back there taking pictures, and my niece Kirsty. My mother applied to sponsor them to be citizens because, you know, I was born in the United States. My sister was born in England. And so when the Lord called me to come back here in 1999, it wasn't a problem because I was born here, even though I hadn't lived here for 27 years. If you're born in America, you're always an American. And so I just came right back, got my Social Security, and just, I mean, but my sister wasn't born here, so she wasn't able to do that. So my mother applied to sponsor her, you know, as a parent, I guess, 12 years ago. It took 12 years. And they finally came through Miami Airport on yesterday, and they have their papers. They have their, what do they call it? Temporary resident status. So they're here for a couple of weeks. They're going to go back. They've got their house up for sale, but they'll be moving back. We've been praying. My mom's been praying for 12 years for them to be able to get up and get up. You know, that's what I pray. In America, I think that we need to make it easier for people to come here legally and difficult for people to come in illegally. That's my opinion. But people out, my sister, 12 years. Are you 28, Bryce? So he was 15 when we applied. Now the kids, I think, were 12, 11 or 12. But we're glad it finally happened. We're glad you're here today. Glad to have you here for Christmas. Amen. Praise God. Is anyone ready for the Word of God today?
Yeah.
I have a word to share with you this morning. Did you bring your Bible to church today? Did anyone remember to bring their Bible? Some people? You got it? Awesome. You got your phone? Now, don't pretend that you're reading your Bible and you're looking at Facebook. Forget about that. Right now, get ready to receive God's Word. Amen? I want to speak about wearing your crown. Wearing your crown. You may say, what are you talking about, wearing your crown? Well, do you know that when you received Jesus into your life, when you were born again, when God breathed His life into you, He put a crown on your head. The psalmist David, he called it a crown of glory and honor. In Psalm 8, in verse number 3, David said, when I look at the night sky, and when I see the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And I'm reading it deliberately because every other translation, just about, the King James Bible, most other translations say, you made him a little lower than the angels. Most Bibles say, you made man a little lower than the angels. But it's not correct because the Hebrew word is the word Elohim. That's the word for God. The psalmist didn't say you made man a little lower than the angels. He said you made man just a little bit lower than God Himself. Let me tell you, the Bible says that we're going to judge angels. The Bible says that angels had been sent to be ministering spirits on our behalf. Angels were not created in the image of gladness of God, but you were. So the psalmist is marveling, and he's, have you ever done that? I have. Have you ever looked up at the sky and just thought about how great God is, or looked at the ocean and thought about how great God is, and yet he cares about you? This is what David is saying. Yet you care so much about men. You've made them just a little lower than God himself. You've crowned them with glory and honor. Say, I have been crowned with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you made. You put all things under their authority. So David is thinking about just how great God is and the creation and everything God has made. And then he's thinking about how come, Lord, why is man so important to you? Why do you care about man so much? Why do you think about man so much? When you've created man in your image, you've made him just a little bit lower than yourself, and you've crowned him, you've put a crown of glory and honor upon his head. You see, that crown represents your authority. It represents God's blessing on your life. It represents God's favor on your life. It's a reminder that you're not average. You're not mediocre. You are royalty. Say, I'm royalty. You know, I watched that series. Does anyone have Netflix out here? There's a series on Netflix called The Crown. And it really is a great series. I can recommend it. And it's a true story. It's based upon the Queen of England, the present Queen of England, who became Queen. She was coronated. Does anyone know this? It's like, I think 52? Like in 1952, she was coronated as Queen. She was about 25 years old. And so this is a series, but it's all based upon, you know, actual events. And I found it very interesting. And what's amazing is that when Elizabeth, when her dad passed away, now, in actual fact, give you a little history lesson here. Anyone like history? But what actually happened is King George, who abdicated the throne because he married a divorced woman, and he wasn't allowed to do that as the king. So he gave up being king. And his younger brother became the king. So now when that man passed away, his daughter was Elizabeth. So really, Elizabeth really shouldn't have been the queen because it was the older brother, but he gave it up. So she becomes the queen. Now I'm telling you all that to tell you this. At the moment when she, at her coronation, and they put that crown on her head, there's something that happens. When she gets that crown placed upon her head, it's like she realizes the responsibility that she has as the queen. And I want you to know, folks, you need to realize that God has put a crown of glory and honor on your head. And when you're wearing that crown, you'll feel a sense of entitlement. You'll think to yourself, I have a right to be blessed. I have a right to live in victory. I have a right to overcome these challenges. Not because I'm so great. Not because I'm so strong. Not because I'm so talented. But because I'm wearing a crown of honor that was put there by my Creator. You see, listen, your perception of yourself will determine the kind of life that you live. If you just see yourself as being average, if you feel less than because of what somebody else said, if you live guilty because of mistakes you've made in the past, that's going to limit your potential. See, what's happening is you're not wearing your crown. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, he said, hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. Notice that. Jesus said, hold fast to what you have. Don't let anybody take that crown off of your head. That means throughout your life, there will always be something or somebody trying to take that crown off. People talking about you. People trying to make you look bad. People trying to push you down. What they're really trying to do is get your crown. And you need to do yourself a favor. Don't let them have it. Wear your crown. Don't take it off for anybody. Amen. Amen. Eleanor Roosevelt made this statement. She said, no one can make you feel inferior without your permission. Nobody can make you feel inferior without your permission. Nobody can take your crown. You've got to let go of it. You see, somebody may say to you, well, you know, you're not that talented, or you're never going to be successful,
Or you can't start your own business. You can't do that. And often, you know what we do? We think, yeah, you're right. I really don't have what it takes. I look how long it's been. I mean, I'm not as smart as my cousin. What's happening? You're letting go of your crown. When those thoughts tell you, you're not attractive enough, you're not smart enough, just say, no thanks, you're not taking my crown. I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. When the thoughts tell you, you're never going to get out of debt, you're never going to be able to send your children to college, you say, no thanks, I will lend and not borrow. Whatever I touch prospers and succeeds. My God will supply all of my needs. You see, that's not just being positive. That's holding on to your crown. When the thoughts come to you, well, look where you are in life. You should be ashamed of yourself. The mistakes you've made in the past. The times that you failed. You just say, no, no, you're not having my crown. I may have fallen, but look at me now. I didn't stay down. I got back up again. God's forgiven me. God has cleansed me. I made mistakes, but it didn't change my name. I am still a child of the Most High God, and I've got a crown of glory and honor on my head. You see, if you're going to keep your crown, you can't let what somebody said or who walked away or what didn't work out steal your sense of value. I know I have been crowned with glory and honor. I know that I'm valuable, that God is thinking about me out of all creation. He's thinking about me. And let me tell you, when somebody tries to make you feel small or they say something derogatory, instead of being upset and believing it, reach up and just straighten your crown up a little bit. Because they cannot change who you are unless you allow them to. They don't control your destiny. They don't determine your value. They didn't breathe life into you. God did. And God says you're a masterpiece. God says you're a king. You're a queen. You're supposed to reign in this life like a king. That's what the Bible says. Revelation 5 verse 10. Says that we have been made, he has made us kings and priests unto our God. We have been made a king unto our God. How many of you know a king is royal? Amen. Say, I've been made a king. Amen. Say, I've been made a queen. Amen. Now the men are supposed to say the king, and the women are supposed to say the queen. Don't get them mixed up. Romans 5:17 says this. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, that's talking about Adam, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness reign as kings in life through Jesus Christ. That's the Amplified Bible. It says, yes, because of Adam, death reigned over everybody. But now that we've received the abundance of God's grace and the gift of righteousness, we are to reign in life like a king through Christ. Yeah. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. You are a chosen generation. Say, I've been chosen. You are a royal priesthood. Say, I'm royal. Come on, don't be shy now. Tell your neighbor, you're sitting next to royalty today. You are sitting next to royalty. You're a royal nation. That's why God put a crown of honor on your head. To remind you who you are. But the mistake we make too many times is we believe the lies. When somebody says you're not that talented, instead of rejecting it, we say, oh yeah, you're right. Let me take off my crown. I thought I was talented, but I guess I'm not. So someone says, you're not royalty. You come from the wrong family. You'll never do anything great. Instead of ignoring it, not giving it the time of day, too often we think, yeah, you know, you're right. What was I thinking? Let me take off my crown. The enemy's main tool is deception. I said the enemy's main tool is deception. There's nothing that the enemy would love any more than for you to go through your life not wearing the crown God put on your head, letting people and circumstances convince you that you don't deserve to be blessed, that you don't have what it takes. You've been through too much. You can't feel good about yourself. Don't dare give away your crown. Hold fast to what you have. It belongs to you. It was put there by your Creator. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with how you look. It has nothing to do with what other people said about you. It's based solely upon the fact that you are a child of Almighty God, and He has crowned you with glory, and He has crowned you with honor. I heard about this young man. He loved to play baseball. When he tried out for his high school baseball team, the coach, you know, didn't give him a chance. He said, "I'm sorry, son, but, you know, you can't try out. You're too small. You'd never make it on this team." And the coach wasn't trying to be mean to him. He was just looking at it from the natural. But let me tell you, just because somebody doesn't believe in you, that doesn't mean you have to stop your dream. That doesn't have to stop your dream. The reason people don't always encourage you and cheer you on is because they don't feel what you feel. God didn't put the dream in them. He put the dream in you. So don't let their discouragement steal your enthusiasm. They may be the expert, but how many of you know the experts can be wrong? If there's anything we found out recently is the experts can be wrong. Keep your crown on. Keep believing. Keep hoping. Keep pursuing. You don't need everyone to be for you. You and God are a majority. And let me tell you, when you're wearing your crown, God will open doors for you that nobody can shut. God will help you accomplish what you could not accomplish on your own. God wouldn't have put the dream in you if He didn't already have a way to bring that to pass. So this young man, he went home from school that day. He was very discouraged. His heart was set on playing baseball, but instead of sitting around defeated, thinking he's not good enough, he kept his crown on. His attitude was, my coach may say I'm too small, but I know I'm not a mistake. I'm just the right size. Do you know that you're just the right size? Do you know God made you the perfect size? You have what you need to fulfill your destiny. So a couple of weeks later, the school announced that because so many boys tried out for the baseball team, they were going to form a second team. So he went and tried out, and he made that team. And he was excited about playing, even though he knew he was on the less talented team. Those two teams played in the same division. There were about 12 teams in that division. They ended up playing each other for the championship. To two teams, you may say, the Team A and Team B from the same school. This young man was the pitcher on the B team. And even though he was told he's too small, he kept striking out batter after batter after batter. And they went on, they beat that more talented team and they won the championship. What am I saying? I'm telling you that people do not determine your destiny. People do not know what is on the inside of you. Don't take off your crown because somebody judged you by the outside, because somebody told you you're not talented enough, you're not attractive enough, you're not tall enough, you're not smart enough, you're not this, you're not that. You don't have to have them cheering you on. Keep your crown on. Keep being your best. Keep honoring God. And let me tell you, God will get you to where you're supposed to be. Amen. I love what Jesus said in John 5 verse 41. The Living Bible says it like this. Jesus said this, your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. Jesus said your approval means nothing to me. Your disapproval means nothing to me. Let me tell you, that's a powerful way to live. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I know who I am. And nothing you do or don't do is going to change that. You can celebrate me or you can crucify me, but I'm keeping my crown. You see, people can be funny. And let me tell you, I found out one moment they can be cheering for you, and the next moment they're putting you down, trying to make you look bad. One moment Jesus was riding into town on a donkey and everybody was coming out and celebrating and putting palm branches down on the street and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And just a few days later, those same people were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, we'll have no other king but Caesar. Let me tell you, if you base wearing your crown on whether people like you, or whether people believe in you, or whether people don't believe in you, you're going to be taking your crown on and off your whole life. Amen. You don't need other people's approval. You have Almighty God's approval. You see, our attitude should be, you can be for me or you can be against me. You can celebrate me or you can criticize me. But one thing is certain, I'm not giving you my crown. I know who I am. I am royalty. I am accepted. I am approved. I am valuable. I am a masterpiece. I am fearfully. I am wonderfully made. Amen.
Amen.
You see, in the scriptures, Isaac said to his son, Esau, in Genesis 27, he said, your brother was here, and he tricked me, and he's carried away your blessing. He carried away your blessing. That was Jacob who said it, right? Who was it? Am I getting confused here? Who was Esau's brother? Jacob. Who was Jacob's father?
Isaac.
I was right the first time. Isaac said, your brother carried away your blessing. How many know that story? Do you know sometimes we let other people carry away our blessing? We let what they say about us, their approval, their discouraging words, keep us from who we were meant to be. You gotta listen, you gotta put your foot down, man. You gotta be determined. You're going to say, I am not going to let people talk me out of my dreams. I am not going to let a co-worker make me feel inferior, like I'm not good enough. I'm not going to let a coach, a teacher, a counselor talk me into living an average, mediocre, get-by life. You're going to realize God put seeds of greatness on the inside of you, and you are destined to leave your mark on this generation. Don't let anybody carry away your blessing. Don't let anybody take away your crown. Let me tell you, when we look back, the enemy has been trying to get our crown from the beginning. Amen. From the beginning of time, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. No, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eve. Garden of Eden. They were living in the Garden of Eden. They were so secure and confident. They were at peace with God. They were at peace with themselves. They were wearing their crowns. They knew they had God's blessing. They knew they had God's favor. They were walking and living in authority. But one day the enemy came and tempted and deceived them into eating the forbidden fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And when they did, they immediately sinned. They were separated from God. They were afraid. They ran. They hid. In effect, they gave the enemy their crown. That's what happens when we are not wearing our crown, family. It opens the door to fear. It opens the door to insecurity. It opens the door to shame. We focus on what we're not. We focus on the mistakes we've made. We focus on what other people have said about us. When you take that crown off, that's what happens. Where there's no crown, there's no covering. There's no reminder of who we are. And we believe those lies that push us down. So God came looking for Adam and Eve, and he couldn't find them. He said, Adam, where are you? Adam said, we're hiding because we're naked. God said, who told you you're naked? God knew Adam had taken off his crown. And I believe God is asking us today, who told you there's something wrong with you? Who told you you're just average? Who told you you cannot accomplish your dreams? Who told you that you're too small? Who told you you came from the wrong family? Who told you that you're not good enough? I can assure you that that did not come from God.
Yeah.
You need to put your crown back on. You may have let some person or some event take it, but the good news is you might have taken it off, but you can put it back on today.
Yes.
It is not too late. You have control over your crown. It starts in your thinking. No more, Pastor Steve, I'm just a C student, I'm just average. No, I'm an A student. I'm full of wisdom. I have the mind of Christ. I will excel in school. No more, Pastor Steve, I've been through too much. I lost a loved one. I'm never going to be happy again. No, family. Instead, God has given me beauty for ashes. What God started in my life, He will finish it. Don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Put your crown back on. No more, I come from the wrong family. There's nothing special about me. No. Instead, I've been made in the image of Almighty God. As He is, the Bible says, as He is, so am I in this world. The Bible says, I'm a masterpiece. I'm one of a kind. I'm a prized possession. No more, well, Steve, I could never do anything great in life. All the odds are against me. No, rather I have the favor of God. I am equipped. I am empowered. I am anointed. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You see, if you're going to reach your highest potential, you have to keep your crown on. It doesn't just happen automatically. It's why the scriptures say, hold fast to what you have. Because there's somebody trying to take that from you. Hold fast to what you have. That no one may take your crown. Have you allowed something to get your crown? Maybe a disappointment. Maybe a bad break. Maybe a divorce. Now you're not passionate about life anymore. Listen, your crown is waiting for you. Maybe you've let a mistake, a failure, a bankruptcy convince you to settle for second best. You need to go get your crown. You wouldn't be alive if God didn't have another victory in front of you. You need to start dreaming again. You need to start believing again. You need to start hoping again. I was talking to a young lady recently, and she was very discouraged because her marriage didn't make it. Her husband left her for somebody else. She's a beautiful girl, but now she's convinced that she's not attractive enough, not talented enough, not smart enough. She had taken off her crown. She told me all the things that she could have done better. If only I'd done this. If only I'd done that. In her mind, it was all her fault. But let me tell you, listen to me. When somebody leaves your life, it doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong with you. It could be the other person is the problem. Have you ever thought about maybe they have some issues? But let me tell you, the accuser will work overtime. He'll try and convince you how you don't measure up, how you're not valuable, how there's nothing good in your future. He's trying to take your crown from you. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, God himself has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. The Amplified Bible, God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you. Nor will I give you up. Nor will I leave you without support. I will not. I will not. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Assuredly not. God said three times, I will not. I will not. I will not. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not fail you. Let me tell you, if somebody left your life and you needed them, that would mean God was forsaking you. So you can conclude, if they left, you didn't need them. If they walked away, they were not part of your destiny. Isaiah 61 verse 7 declares, because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your fair share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be doubled and your joy will go on forever. You may not realize it, listen to me, but when that person left you, in a sense they did you a favor because they set you up for double. God has someone amazing in your future. God has a divine connection. Somebody better than him, than what you imagine.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Somebody that will treat you like the king and the queen that you were meant to be. But you've got to do your part. You've got to put your crown back on. It's not going to happen if you go around negative and discouraged and feeling unattractive. Let me tell you, if you're unattractive on the inside, you'll be unattractive on the outside. You carry yourself the way you feel about yourself. I've seen ladies that weren't that attractive. They didn't have a lot of natural beauty, but on the inside they had it going on. You know what I'm talking about? When they say beauty comes from within, there's a great truth to that. When you're wearing your crown, you're confident, you're secure. You know you're a masterpiece. You know you're one of a kind. You're not dwelling on all the negative chatter, what you're not, what you don't have, what other people are saying. No, you go through the day with a smile on your face, with a spring in your step. You know that you're royalty. You know you've been crowned with glory and honor. And when you live this way, family, you're going to come into some divine connections. You won't have to go after them. God will cause the right people to track you down. Maybe you've been through a disappointment or a loss. Something didn't work out. It would be easy for you to not feel attractive, not valuable, not excited about life anymore. But I want to encourage you, man. The Lord is talking to you to get your crown back. That crown is what gives you favor. It's what gives you the authority. The crown is what causes you to stand out. Nothing that has happened to you in your life has lessened your value. You're still God's most prized possession. You are still the apple of God's eye. Don't let a disappointment or a loss carry away your blessing. Because it isn't the end. It's the new beginning for you. God said, I'll give you beauty for the ashes. This is what a lady in the scripture had to do. Her name was Naomi. Naomi lost her husband. And then later on she lost both her sons in battle. She was so discouraged. She didn't think she could go on. She took off her crown. She used to be a happy woman, full of joy, fun to be around. But now she was bitter. She became bitter. She thought, I'm never going to be happy again. She even changed her name. She changed her name from Naomi, which means my joy, to Mara, which means bitter. She changed her name. She said, don't call me Naomi, my joy anymore. Call me not Mara, I'm bitter. Listen, go back for me. When people called her Naomi, she was so heartbroken. She said, don't call me now, Naomi. I'm depressed. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. That's who I am now. You see, here's the problem. When you take off your crown, you take off the favor. You take off the honor. You take off the glory. That's what you need for God to be able to pay you back. Let me tell you, in the tough times more than ever, you've got to keep on reminding yourself, I am a child of the Most High God. I'm extremely valuable. God has beauty for these ashes. Double is coming my way. The Bible says that when I have my share of trouble, that God's going to bring me double. Naomi thought that she was finished. She moved back to her hometown. She was planning on fading off into the sunset. But when she saw some old friends, she tried to convince them, call me Mara. They said, no, Naomi, what are you talking about? That's not who you are. That's not your name. You're not bitter. We're calling you my joy. That's who you are. They kept calling her Naomi. Every time they did, they were prophesying her future. She was trying to stay in defeat. And they said, no, you're coming into victory. We're calling you my joy. She kept taking off her crown and they kept putting it back on. What am I saying? Listen, you need people around you that will remind you of who you really are. Not people who will get bitter with you. Not people who will agree with the defeat and agree with the mediocrity. But you need people around you who will call you blessed. Who will call you victorious. Who will call you royalty. People who will remind you that your best days are yet to come. That what was meant for your harm, God is going to use it for your advantage. You need people around you that keep that crown on. That's why every week I tell you, you are blessed. You are prosperous, you are redeemed, you are forgiven, you are talented, you are confident, you are strong, you are valuable, you are a masterpiece, you are favored by God. What am I doing? I'm making sure you're wearing your crown, because life will try and take that off, but my goal is to help keep it on. I want you to walk out of here today, just adjust that crown a little bit. Remember, you've been crowned with glory and with honor. That you are chosen, you are royal, you are valuable, you have God's favor. If God is for you, then who can be against you? Amen. I mean, why don't you right now just reach up like this. Come on, just adjust your crown a little bit. It's a little crooked. Just kind of make it straight. I got my crown on today. I want you, when you walk out of here, realize you are walking out. You've been crowned with glory and honor and favor. Amen. Amen. Naomi went back to her hometown. Her daughter-in-law Ruth went with her. Ruth had also lost her husband. Ruth met a man named Boaz. And they got married, and one day they had a little baby boy. And by this time, Naomi was way up there in years. It didn't look like she had any reason to live. But when she saw that little baby, something came alive on the inside. The scripture says that the woman in the town rejoiced. They said, Naomi, God has given you a son, and this baby is going to restore your youth. Naomi felt a new sense of purpose. She took care of that little baby boy like he was her own son. She didn't think she'd ever be happy again, but she ended up being more fulfilled than ever before. That was God paying her back for the unfair things that had happened. My question today, are you wearing your crown? I said, are you wearing your crown? Yeah. Or have you let a disappointment, a loss, a bad break convince you to take that crown off?
Let me tell you, nothing that has happened to you has stopped God's plan for your life. God knows how to give beauty for your ashes. He knows how to turn mourning into dancing. Like Naomi, you might have taken off your crown thinking you've seen your best days, but you need to get ready, because I believe that the latter part of your life is going to be better than the former part of your life. I believe the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. God still has a purpose for you to fulfill. God has still something amazing in your future. You need to put your crown back on. Amen? I heard this story about Helen of Troy. Helen of Troy is an extremely beautiful queen, young woman born into royalty, loved, admired by her people. One day she was kidnapped. She was taken to a foreign country. In all the confusion, she was stricken with amnesia. She couldn't remember her name. She couldn't remember where she was from. She ended up living on the streets, homeless, being taken advantage of. And here, she had royalty in her blood. She was a respected queen in her hometown, but nobody knew where she is. And she doesn't know who she is. She doesn't remember who she is. Back at home, her friends and family, they never gave up on her. Even though it had been years and years, they still believed she was alive. And there was this one particular man that loved her dearly. And he'd taken care of her when she was growing up. And he set out to try and find her. And while he was searching the streets of this faraway country, he saw this pitiful looking woman sitting by some water. Her clothes were all raggedy, her hair was all matted, her face was all battered and bruised. He was about to pass on by, but something looked strangely familiar. He asked her what her name was. She mumbled something. She couldn't really talk. He looked closer. He became very intrigued. He asked if he could see her hands, and he remembered the lion prints in her hands. She showed him, and when he saw them, he was amazed. He couldn't believe it. He said, "Helen." She looked at him kind of confused. He said, "You are Helen of Troy. You are the queen. Don't you remember, Helen?" And suddenly it was like a light came on. Her face brightened up. The fog lifted. She rediscovered who she really was. She hugged her friend. They went back to her hometown. Once again, she became the queen that she was meant to be. But let me tell you, like Helen, a lot of people today, they're suffering from amnesia. They were born into royalty. They were created to reign in life. God crowned them with glory and honor, but they've forgotten who they are because of a bad break, because of a disappointment, because of mistakes in their past. They're living far below their privileges, beaten down by life, thinking that they are average, like this man did for Helen. I'm here to remind you who you are today. You are a child of the Most High God. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. There's a crown of honor that belongs to you. God has placed upon you. And your mind might be in a bit of a fog today, but I believe in your spirit something is coming alive today. Strongholds that have held you back are being broken. Defeated thinking and negative mentality, those chains are being broken in the name of Jesus. I believe you're going to discover who you are. You're not average. You're not mediocre, but you are royalty. You are a king. You are a queen. Now do your part. Put your crown back on. Put your shoulders back. Walk out of here knowing who you are in Christ. Amen. I read about this 6-year-old little boy. He was born during the French Revolution. His father was King Louis XVI. And in all the uprising, both his mother and his father were condemned to death. They brought them out in the public square and they beheaded them in the public square. The crowds were so against them, they began to call for this little boy. They said, "Bring out the prince. Let's get rid of all the royalty." And someone said, No, let's not kill him. That's too easy. His soul will go to heaven. Let's turn him over to that evil woman named Meg. She'll teach him how to do wrong. She'll teach him how to lie, how to cheat, how to say bad things. And when he dies, he won't go to heaven. They agreed. They turned this little boy over to this evil woman. She began to teach him how to say profane things. But every time she tried to get him to say something bad, he would refuse. He would say, "No, I'm not going to do it. I was born to be a king. I will not talk that way."
Do you know that when you are born into royalty, do you know that you are trained from the time you are born? Do you know that they act a certain way? They're very dignified. They have a sense of responsibility. Do you know that it's actually a duty that they believe that God has placed upon them? Well, listen, family, you need to realize that this little boy, when the enemy comes to you and he tries to get you to say the wrong things, you know, I'm a king. I will not say that. When she tried to get this little boy to lie and cheat and compromise, he did the same thing. He said, I'm a king. I will not do it. I refuse to do it. When the enemy tries to reprogram your thinking and tell you that you're average, you're ordinary, just say, no thanks, I am a king. I won't think that way. When he tries to convince you to live a mediocre, defeated life, do like that little boy. No thank you. I know that I'm royalty. I will not live beneath my privileges. I know who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm asking you to keep your crown on. You might have been through disappointments. You might have suffered a loss. Life will always try and take it. But you've got to hold fast to what God has given you. Don't let anybody, don't let anything carry away your blessing in the name of Jesus. I believe if you'll make this decision with me today, if you decide I'm going to keep my crown, I'm going to wear my crown, I'm going to believe I am who God says I am, I believe that I declare you will reign in your life, I believe you're going to rise higher, I believe you're going to accomplish your dreams, and I believe you are going to fulfill and reach your destiny in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it today? Come on, if you do, put your hands together, give praise to God. Say, thank you, Lord, that you have crowned me with glory and honor. You have put a crown of favor on my head. You have chosen me. I'm royalty. You've made me a king and a priest. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm not average. I'm not mediocre. I'm not defeated. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. If God is for me, then who can be against me? Say, I am surrounded by the favor of God. Everywhere I go, favor surrounds me. Everywhere I go, doors open for me. Supernaturally, God brings the right people across my path. Say, people like me. People want to bless me. Because I'm surrounded by God's favor. I'm wearing my crown. And I'm not going to take it off for anybody or for anything in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I pray that you really remember this today. I pray that this really resonates and it really is deposited down in your heart. I pray that you never forget this. That you have been crowned with glory and with honor. And you are royalty. You are a masterpiece. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I pray that you never forget that. I'm not talking about being proud. I'm not talking about, you know, being arrogant, lifting yourself up. I'm talking about being confident in Christ, in who you are in God. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. 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 How many of you got something out of this today? Did you get something out of this, Carol? You heard a lot of preaching in your life. How long have you been a Christian serving the Lord now? Years. So you heard a few sermons. You've been a Christian for 70 years. And you preached many yourself. Did you get something out of this today? You did? Well, that I'm glad to hear that. Praise God. Lord, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you, like the psalmist David said, he was amazed. I look at the stars. When I look at the heavens, when I look at your handiwork, Lord, what is man that you care so much about us? We're so valuable to you. We're on your mind. You've crowned us with glory and honor. Lord, we thank you
for your goodness. We thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that you are with us and you are for us. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, you care about us. We thank you that you are our provider. We thank you that you lead and guide us to the destiny that you have for our life. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you for a moment, if you don't mind, would you just bow your head, just close your eyes, just for a few minutes here. I want to pray. I want to pray especially for anyone who's here this morning and you're not sure where you stand with God today. You're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you a question. The question is, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know for certain? If you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. You're absolutely sure about that? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you what church you belong to. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you absolutely sure that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure about that. You can be certain. In fact, you can leave here today and you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed and while we have our eyes closed, if you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me too. Include me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, dear friend, if you want to be included in this prayer, I'm going to ask you quickly, right now, just lift your hand up high. Just raise up your hand and say, yes, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me. I'm looking around. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Just lift it up quickly. Anybody else? Thank you. I see your hand. I want to ask everyone who lifted your hand up, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, like I said. I'm going to ask you to please say this prayer with me. Say this prayer from your heart. And I'm going to ask everyone here today, let's say this prayer together with them. So everybody together. Everybody say this. Say, dear God. Say, dear God. I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin, my punishment, to die in my place, that I could be saved. Lord, you said in your word, if I would believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess with my mouth that He is my Lord, you said I would be saved. So I do this today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. And I am your very own child. Heaven is now my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Give God thanks and praise today.
Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person gives their life to Christ. So we rejoice with you today. Best decision you ever made. I want to encourage you, if you lifted your hand, we're going to be closing the service in a few minutes from now. There's a couple of things we want to tell you before you go. But if you lifted up your hand, please, when the service is ended, would you please remain where you're sitting? I tell you why. We have someone, a leader, a volunteer, a worker from our church, going to come over to you. We have a gift for you. If you lifted your hand, just stay where you are. We won't keep you long. We just want to give you a gift before you go home. So thank you so much. God bless you. Praise God. We had a wonderful time on Monday at the Christmas dinner. A great time. Didn't we have a great time at the Christmas dinner on Monday night? Isn't that awesome? It was such a great time. We had a wonderful time at Christmas dinner. Praise God. Now, how many of you remember this? What's happening this weekend? Can you believe Christmas is here? Can you believe? Next weekend is Christmas. We're doing Christmas Eve. What time is our Christmas Eve service? I said, what time is our Christmas Eve service? It's at 7 p.m. And then next Sunday, on Christmas Day, we're doing Christmas Day service at 10. So we've got 7 a.m. on Christmas Eve, and we've got 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and we've got 10 a.m. on Christmas Day. Please invite someone. I think when you came in today, did we give out any invites? Do we have any more invites, ushers? Did we hand them out today? Please hand, we don't need them anymore. So give them all out today. How many of you will invite someone to come to the Christmas service next weekend? Raise your hand if you'll invite somebody. Okay, those who haven't got your hands up. I was coming out looking for you. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad I sat next to you today.
You know, Christmas is sometimes the easiest time to invite someone to church. There are people who will go to church on Christmas that won't go any other time of the year, right? Family, this is the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the house of God. And God, we go. On your seat, you'll find the envelopes. I read an interesting thing. Anne Landis, who has a column, she wrote, she told a story about a letter she got from a lady. And this lady was telling a story of her aunt and uncle. And she said her uncle was the tightest man she ever knew. Every paycheck he'd get, he'd take $20 of it and he'd put it under his mattress. And then he was dying and he said to his wife, to her aunt, he said, "You've got to make me one promise. You're going to promise me that when I die, that you'll take this money from under my mattress and you'll put it in the casket with me." And so she didn't want to let him down, and he died. And on the day that he died, she wanted to keep the promise. And so she took all the money from under the mattress. She went and deposited it in the bank, and she put a check in his casket for the full amount. But you know what I want to say to you is, what does it matter to him, right? Because you can't take it with you. But what you can do is we can make an eternal difference with our finances. How do we do that? I want to read to you. They don't have my scriptures up there. Oh, there. Go ahead, give it to me. Move on to my scripture, please. In Philippians 1, Paul wrote this, and he said, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now." And the Amplified Bible says, Paul wrote to them and said, "Thank you for your contributions and your partnership." So as we tithe and we give offerings into this church, you become a partner with what we are doing. Isn't that good? We become partners. So that means that the salvations, the people who give their heart to the Lord, the lives that are changed, any advancement of the kingdom of God that is made through this house, you are a partner. You share in what is done. You share in the reward of what is done. Paul went on and he wrote in verse 6, he said, "I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. We are working together, family. We're working together as we serve, as we give. We are partners in what happens in this ministry. Amen. And through the month of December, you'll see on your seat there's the regular offering envelope, which is the black one, and there's a heart for the house envelope. And last week, Pastor Steve, if you missed last week, go and get the CD after the service. We will give you the CD. Go and get it. I think it's important for us as a church to be unified in what we see and how we feel about the house of God. So go and get that. But we have a heart for the house offering. We do a year-end offering every year. Most churches do that. And through the month of December, we're asking you to do something that is over and above your regular tithes, but to give your best offering to the house of God through the month of December. So pray about it. Take one of those red envelopes and, make a decision from your house, from your family, something you're going to do for the advancement of God's kingdom. And, we give, Pastor Steve and I, we give, first of all, because God's house matters. David said this, he said, passion for your house consumed me. And Jesus said the same thing. But we give because God's house matters. We give because people matter, right? Not just things, people matter. And we give because the city matters. God's put us as believers in this city, and we should be making a difference here, right? And so the reason we do, the way it works here is our regular tithes and offerings go to the regular running of the church, salaries, rentals, all the different things we have to give. Hold on, don't give those out yet, please. One moment. Thank you. But what we do, so our regular offerings go towards the running of the church, but the heart for the house offering goes to do anything more that we want to do in 2017. Who wants to see some more done in 2017? Amen. We want to do more. And to do that, we want to see more lives change. We want to see more people saved. We want to see change come. We want to be in a new building, right? And so think about that as you pray and ask the Lord, but give your best offering through the month of December. We would appreciate it. And I'd suggest that you write on that envelope, write what you are trusting God for 2017. We all should be thinking of increase, thinking of the dreams that God has for us, and not just New Year's resolutions, but I want to do more. I want more in my life, more of what God has for me. Write that in there, and you're sowing a seed towards it. So thank you for doing that. And as you prepare your offering, we're going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for every person, every family represented in this building. Pray for those that are watching online right now. Father, stir our hearts. And we pray that everybody will sow their best seed. I thank you, Father, for what you've given us. As we heard from the scriptures last week, David said, how can I presume to give anything to the Lord? Because everything I have comes from Him. So, Father, we are grateful for what you've given us. We thank you for the blessings that you have in 2017. And as we give and sow, we are trusting you for what you will do in the year ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Can the worship team come back? Where's Monique? Can we have the worship team come back? Please, Monique, real quick. Praise the Lord. Yes. I want to thank all of you that do give so faithfully to our church. And I want to really encourage you, like my wife said, with a heart for the house offering, to let the Lord lead you. Someone came to me last week after our service of Heart for the House and said, Pastor Steve, I just felt the Lord's stirring me up. I'm going to give $1,000 a week for the month of December. Every week I'm going to give $1,000. And this wasn't a multi-millionaire. This was a person who has a job. And I was just amazed that this person would make that kind of
commitment to give $1,000 every week for the month of December. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just asking you to really listen to your heart and to have a heart for the house of God. Like Jesus was passionate about the house of God, and David was passionate about the house of God. And David gave to build God's temple. And think about how the Bible says David was the apple of God's eye, and how much God loved David. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. The Bible says that when we have a passion and we seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be added to us. And so thank you for giving during this December, and we are believing God for great things. I'm believing for a better 2017 than 2016. I'm believing for increase in 2017. I believe a shift has occurred. I believe that God is working. I believe we are going into a time of blessing and breakthrough in this nation. I believe you're going to see, man, 2017, a turnaround in the name of Jesus. How about anyone expecting that? Anyone praying for that? Anyone believing for that? As we go home, we're right on time today. Ba-boom. As we go home today, let's sing. What do you want to sing? Did the ushers already receive the offering? Go ahead now. Thank you so much. Just remain seated, if you would. Why don't we sing the... What is that you're playing there now? You Have No Equal. Sing that. Come on, let's do that. Beautiful song. You Have No Equal. Sing it to us. We'll sit and sing with you. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
is the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Come on, give him a big praise this morning. What a powerful name is the name of Jesus. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. I willingly bow my knee and I willingly confess Jesus is Lord. Let me tell you, you're going to do it now, or you're going to do it, and you're going to do it when you stand before him, and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to declare that he is Lord. We declare, Jesus, you are Lord. Lord, we thank you that as we go home today, we thank you that you are with us, you are in us. You said, I will not, I will not, I will not fail you, forsake you. I will not let you down. I thank you, Lord, if you are for us, what can stand against us? I thank you for the greater one on the inside of us. I thank you that you have crowned us with glory and with honor. You have chosen us. You have called us to be a royal priests and kings and priests unto our God. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and we give you praise today and we rejoice in all that you've done for our life, all that you are doing, all you will do in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. God bless you, family. We'll see you next weekend for Christmas.
Right?